Good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Now it came about that on a certain Sabbath he was passing through some grain fields, and his disciples were picking and eating the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said, "Why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for any to eat except the priests alone, and gave it to his companions? And he was saying to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' And it came about on another Sabbath that he entered the synagogue and was teaching. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, in order that they might find reason to accuse him. And he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Rise and come forward.' And he rose and came forward. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with rage and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. And it was at that time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named his apostles: Simon, who also called Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he descended with them and stood on level place, and there was a great multitude of his disciples, and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured, and all the multitude were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. And turning his gaze on his disciples, he began to say, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and cast insults at you and spurn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the false prophets. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind and grateful. Kind of grateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice a log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," then when you yourselves do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree will produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men who do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood rose, a torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because it had not been well built. The one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who has built his house upon the ground without any foundation, and the torrent bursts against it and immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. In Luke chapter 6, this pretty much sums up most of Jesus' teaching, or I should say, it gets to not just even the beginning, but really the central message of why Jesus came to earth. You know, he came to obviously save sinners, but he also came to bring a new way of living life. You know, and if you look, you know, at Luke 6, you'll see a lot of contrast. You know, he'll say, you give to everyone asks you, you know, do these things. And, you know, the sinners do the same thing. You know, you're nice to people that are nice to you. What's the big deal? You know, and he's making this contrast about how different the life of the believer is. And I'll get to that in a little bit. The first thing, you know, that the Lord, I mean, have you noticed this? And we talk about this a lot at church. Have you noticed that Jesus is always healing people on the Sabbath? You know, like these guys have been sick for so long, right? It's like, can you just wait one more day, you know? And I mean, it just seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? And surely you can wait one more day. You know, I imagine especially this man with the withered hand, this withered hand is probably his whole life. You know, but Jesus constantly makes it a point to heal someone on the Sabbath. And what he's doing, right, he's not only giving a new way of life for the church to begin to process and lead, but he's even going back to the old way of life, you know, Old Testament, Old Covenant, you know, I mean, well, okay, not really necessarily Old Covenant, you know, but the kind of the way that the church, you know, and the temple operated in its day. And he's bringing a refining to that. He's bringing a different lens by which to look at. You know, and it's always good for us at times to, you know, go back and recognize, you know, like, why do I do the things that I do? You know, or why do we do the things? I'm talking especially as a church, you know. Why do we do the things that we do? Like, for instance, you know, I was thinking about this actually a few months ago. You know, and like we have communion, right? Why do we do that? I mean, I know it's the Lord's commands, right? But why do we have, like, wafers and a little cup of juice? You know what I mean? For me, I would love to just actually, one communion Sunday, you know, just have a huge meal together, right? Because that's really the New Testament model. Right? You know, and maybe, you know, churches along the years, it was more convenient to, you know, put a little piece of bread together instead of having a full meal, right? I mean, can you imagine our church, right? 200 and some people, you know, Sunday, you know, we all sit down. Obviously, we can't sit down at one table, you know, but that was kind of the idea. And then, so we do things. And then another thought that came to mind, you know, I was reading on communion a little bit and I was meditating on this. And also the thought, why are only men carrying the elements? Like, where does it say in the Bible that women can't do that? You know, I mean, simple things like that, right? And a lot of it we find out actually comes from church tradition, you know, and these type of things. And so, you know, what kind of traditions actually are good, right? Because we can't, you know, you can't say, oh, we're a contemporary church, we don't have any traditions. No, just the fact that you just said that just means that you have a tradition now. You know, that you think you're contemporary or you don't have tradition, but that is a tradition itself. And so it's not that they're all bad, but which ones are good and draw us to the Lord, and what traditions do we have that actually take us away from God? You know, obviously he's dealing with a group of people that had this tradition of the Sabbath and the way they looked at Sabbath. You know, and the idea of work, you know, was sacred, and so they didn't do any work. Well, what constitutes work? You know, I mean, this whole thing. I mean, we have, you know, you have Orthodox Jews living in this city right now, you know, and most of them are around Kennedy Road, you know, in that. You know why they're there? You have any idea? Because the school's close by, you know, and they want to build a synagogue there, and they literally need to be in like a 300-meter radius because they're not taking taxis on Sundays. You know, they usually live on very low floors. Why? Because they're not pressing the elevator button on the Sabbath. You know, well, Sabbath would be Saturdays, right? You know, and so it's these traditions that have been built up over these years that really, like, take people away from God. I mean, that's my humble opinion, you know? And things, and so Jesus is constantly dealing with that. He came to bring a reformation, right? He came to talk to the Jewish people, you know, and say, hey, you know, the way that you've been living your life, you know, the last 1,000 years, I don't think this is necessarily what Moses had in mind. You know, and he begins to bring a new way for them. And then for the new believers or the Gentiles, in other words, he's bringing a new course of the way we live our lives. And so he deals with the issue of Sabbath, right? He says, hey, man, you know, what's happening here is not what you think it is. And then as soon as he does that, interestingly enough, in verse 11, it says, they themselves were filled with rage. The word actually there is the word folly. You know, have you ever seen like people just silly, you know, but like mad silly, you know, and we know that, you know, when you get mad or when you're raging with anger, you tend to make a lot of mistakes. You know, I mean, you know, I've been married almost 10 years, right? And I know that when I get angry at my wife, I'll say the dumbest things that I don't really mean. You know, and then I'll have to go back and, you know, and apologize and do all these things. And so when you think of anger, rage in that way, it's folly. It's just silliness. You know, it doesn't allow us to have our full capacity, you know, as thinking human beings, rational human beings. And so these guys just get silly. And then he goes to the mountain to pray. He spends the whole night in prayer. And what does he do afterwards? He chooses the 12. I want to suggest to you this incredible connection between prayer and leadership, or leadership selection, leadership development. You know, I feel like, you know, for me as a senior pastor, one of my most important tasks, right, not only is preaching, you know, the ministry of the word and prayer, you know, but one of the most sacred tasks I believe that I have is actually leadership selection. You know, it's the choosing of leaders, you know, and we take it very seriously at church, right? That we believe that this is such an important assignment from God, you know, that you don't just pick from need. You know what I mean? In other words, we need this person. Oh, Nelly, you can provide that need. Nelly, why don't you just do that, right? You know, A is B is C. You know, I don't think, you know, I think generally you will get messed up, you know, in doing that. And I've worked at some churches that kind of operate in that way. It's kind of like, well, we have a need. Okay, you can fill that need. Why don't you go ahead and do it? You know, and one, they may not be qualified. They may not have the character, you know, and it may not be the timing and, you know, so on and so forth. Now, let's say we're all leaders, okay? You know, and so if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a leader. Right, and so, you know, let's not, you know, mince any words about that, you know. But at the same time, there's also some of us at certain periods of our life that may be chosen in to step into a leadership role that leads over other people. You know, another way of saying is we're all called to serve, you know. But there may be others that are called to serve in a leadership capacity, and it was so important. The Lord went all night long, and he prayed to the Lord. And he asked, you know, he asked God, right, for this next important decision, you know, pact that he needed to make. And then this is really important. If you're a leader, you know, and maybe you're a house church leader or you're a worship leader or, you know, you run some kind of ministry, or it could be even in your job if you're in charge of hiring people or whatnot, man, prayer, you know, even in the secular realm, prayer has to play a huge part in that. You know, and some of you guys that do hire, you know, people and things like this, and that's part of your job description, you know how important it is, right, that you choose the right people. It's vastly important. You know, and so this is something that you need to go to the Lord in prayer. You know, we talk about this, and remember in the book of Acts, you know, because Luke is writing Acts 2. Remember those guys come, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord falls upon them, you know, or they actually start praying, you know, before the Spirit comes. And then all of a sudden, you know, they realize that Judas's position is gone. And then do you remember their prayer that they pray? I thought it was such a beautiful prayer. They said, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. So please choose for us who, and then they pick lots, right? You know, and I want to suggest to you that they were so afraid of making a decision. You know, and we can't be paralyzed in that way, right? And so they were so afraid because Judas, right, if you remember, he was the guy that took care of the money, right? And so, and he was the only Judean out of the whole group. They were all, everyone else was Galileans, right? In other words, they were all hicks, you know, but, you know, Judas was a city guy, you know, he was sophisticated, cosmopolitan, you know, and considered the most trustworthy one since he took care of the money, and he ended up betraying Jesus. You know, and so the guys were like, well, you know, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. So, Lord, you pick. You know, and I think that's a very good way to go about now. They, you know, they basically kind of like pick, in other words, they kind of roll the dice, right? That's not the best way. That's kind of like you should pray and ask God to speak to you. You shouldn't roll the dice, you know. Do you guys ever make decisions like that? Heads or tails, you know, kind of thing? I don't know about that, man. I think that's a major lack of discernment in that way and things. And but that's, you know, it's it becomes a serious issue about leadership selection. And so, I mean, gosh, I don't want to spend so much time on that. And then he gets to the bulk of this thing, right? You know, the Beatitudes. A totally different, revolutionary way to live our life. I tell you what, no world leader, right? No figure has ever said these things that Jesus said. This is why the world is still mesmerized by Jesus. It's actually right here in these Beatitudes, right? What we call the Sermon on the Mount. You know, I mean, he says things that are just, and if you think about it, that are humanly impossible, right? You know, when's the last time you blessed someone who persecuted you? When's the last time that, you know, that you prayed for someone that hated your guts, right? When's the last time we turned our cheek, our other cheek? You know, when's the last time someone stole from us and we gave him more or her more, you know? I mean, we have, especially as an American, I have such a sense of justice. You know what I mean? I mean, it's strong in me. You should see my daughter, Elise. I mean, she's all about justice, man. I mean, she goes to war. You know, this is not fair, you know? And she really means it and things. And so I grew up with such a sense of justice that what Jesus says seems very, very unjust, doesn't it? What? That's not right, you know? If you only do good, if you only love those who love you, he says, Jesus, what's the big deal? You know, what's the big deal? Right? And you know, and you know, I've shared on this part, right? You know, like just being generous to yourself or to your family, that actually doesn't mean you're generous. It most likely means you're selfish, you know? And so when we talk about generosity, it's actually extended to people that are outside of our sphere of influence in many ways. You know, and this is really the value of the Beatitudes. It's a totally different way in which we live our lives. In other words, the Lord is concerned about exactly how we live our life. You know, that there should be a marked difference, you know, between in your office, between the way you conduct business and the way that your partner, who is a pre-believer, conducts business. I mean, can we agree with that, right? And so in that same way, if we smell like, look like, act like, spend like, dress like, you know what I mean? Like everyone else in our world, what happens is we lose our distinctiveness, you know? And this is relayed really across the board, right? This is like how you date, you know what I mean? You know, I mean, if you're, you know, sleeping over your boyfriend's house all the time, I think you're in some serious trouble. You know, if you're, you know, doing the same things that, you know, your friends are doing that don't have a relationship with Jesus, I think there's a serious problem going on, right? In relationships, in the way that we handle our money, You know, if we're doing the same thing, you know, that's happening in the world, I think we're in serious trouble. And what happens is we lose our distinctiveness, but the key is you lose your voice. You know, the reason why we're on this planet, right? You know, if you heard this phrase before, right? When we get to heaven, we're going to worship forever, right? We're going to grow in knowledge forever, right? I mean, we're going to know God forever. You know, all these things. But we only have one lifetime to win the lost. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's really, we can say in a nutshell, that's why we're still on this planet. You know, if not for that, Lord, come, take us home, you know. You know, let the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and all these beautiful things, streets of gold, no pain, no shame, no tears, let it come. You know, but there's a task before us. It's to win the lost, right? And if we live lives, right, that don't mirror this beatitude, guess what? You know, we lose our voice. We lose our distinctiveness. You know, and the key of the Beatitudes, right, is that humanly, fairly impossible, right? Fairly impossible. I was reading, I don't know if you guys ever read Reader's Digest, you know, but actually quite uplifting. Right? So great stories in there. And I was reading this Reader's Digest about this woman in Taiwan who had only one son, you know, and you know, the husband had passed away years ago. That's all she had is one son. And the son got killed by another young man, you know, basically on the beach, and he just took a cutting, you know, paring knife and stuck it in his chest, and he ended up dying, right? And so this kid's in jail now. And the wife, I mean, the mom, she basically loses everything, you know. But then for some reason, she starts visiting this kid in jail, right? And, you know, long story short, she's able to forgive him and, in a sense, adopt him, you know, not, you know, physically, but like that he becomes like her own son in a way, right? And just crazy. Obviously, she was a Christian, you know, and things. And, you know, even in her own words, she'd say, like, I can't do that. But it's just the grace, right? And we can't really live this life that he asks us to. But see, this is the beauty of the Beatitudes, right? Is that, first of all, you were never meant to live your life on your own strength anyway. Right? That's really the key. You were never meant to live this life in your own strength to begin with, right? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness, Jesus tells him in Corinthians. And so, you know, this kind of life, this life of the Beatitudes, this Sermon on the Mount life, is a life that's given over to God. You know why you can bless those who persecute you, you know, and whatnot, is because you're living a life for eternity, not for a life on this planet. You know why you can just give to others freely what you own and possess? Is because this is not your life. Your life is not the span of 80 years or 70 years or, you know, 50 whatever years that we plan to live on this earth. Your life actually is for eternity. You know, and the Sermon on the Mount life is a life with an eye fixed on not the temporal, but on those that are eternal, you know? That's why when I look at my life with a view of eternity, it's actually quite easy to give, you know? It's easy to forgive because my lens is eternity. You know, my lens is heaven. It's not this earth. If I'm fixed and focused on this earth, yeah, I'm worried about my insurance plan, my retirement. You know, I'm worried about, you know, my, you know, I mean, all these things, and those are good things too, right? But if I'm focused on eternity, my view totally changes, right? And Jesus will get more into that later on. So let's close our eyes this morning. This is the promise. Give, and it will be given to you. I don't think that passage is talking primarily about monies and things like that. Because if you listen to the context of everything, it's talking about forgiving, you know, it's talking, you know, about, you know, different aspects of our life that's given over. You know, it's talking about being merciful, about not judging, forgiving, not condemning. And if you give, see, this is the promise. This is why we can live a Sermon on the Mount life. He says, you do that, and man, it will be given to you in a greater measure. And that's the beautiful thing. In other words, you're able to forgive somebody. Forgiveness will come your way in a greater measure. You're able to love somebody, that will come back to you in a greater measure. Yeah, you're able to give financially, yeah, finances will come back to you in a greater measure as well. But you extend mercy, man, you wait for mercy to be given to you in greater measure. You can never outgive God financially, nor any of these other aspects that we're talking about. You want love to flow in your life? You give love. And you wait to see that love pressed down in greater measure over our lives. See, we have this extra incentive as the people of God, and we have this generous God who loves to give to His people. Pressed down. Don't you like that? Pressed down. Shaken together. Spilling over. It's this abundance that he's talking about. As Mon leads us in a song of worship, you know, let's just think about our lives in this way of, you know, am I living a Sermon on the Mount life of graciousness, of generosity, of forgiveness, of love, of mercy being extended? Well, let's ask the Lord to speak to us.
Pleasing to you.
Let's pray together. Let's go before the Lord, and let's pray for ourselves in relation to the Beatitudes, and let's pray for our church in that same way. Right, that as a body, that we would embody the Sermon on the Mount in the way that we interact with each other, and in the way that we love one another, and the way that we're gracious to new people, you know, that come into to this family of believers. And let's pray for a real graciousness and a real care. Let's challenge ourselves, you know, to really have a heart circumcised unto the Lord, that's totally given over to Him. Let's just spend a moment and just seek the Lord in that. Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for our local ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the churches, the international churches, the local churches, and ethnic churches. Let's pray for YWAM, Sports Services, and Shanti. Let's continue to pray for Godwin, whose appendix burst, and some of the guys went to see him yesterday, and he's not doing very well. Basically, when there's appendix burst, all the toxins spread over his whole body, and so, you know, he didn't even have energy to smile. And I think it's quite serious. And so let's continue to pray for him for a full recovery. Let's pray for face-to-face, their ministries, and Zhengsheng College, Feed the Hungry, and CSW. Let's ask God's hand to be upon each of these ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's pray. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's pray for our worship team and welcoming and greeting need for the men's and women's ministries and the local outreach. Let's pray that as each of these groups seek to reach out and to touch either in the church or outside the church, there'll be just an uncommon grace that comes over each of them. And I'll pray for the leaders as well. Let's pray for house churches this weekend. Let's pray for McCain House Church tonight and for Beijing on Sunday. Let's pray for just the hand of the Lord to be upon each one of them as they just totally give themselves to the Lord, and pray for fellowship and community. But more than that, just pray for challenge and growth. Let's cover this weekend before the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to just have His hand upon us as we continue to move forward. Tomorrow we have our board meeting. We also have our baptism service, obviously, over this Sunday. Now continue to pray for the seven members who are being baptized. That will just really steady their hearts as they share their testimonies. That it'll just be a glorious time of celebrating God's faithfulness in each of their lives. Let's pray for all the logistics, you know, with the buses and the meals and everything. And let's continue to pray for Monday for Cascade and IP meeting on Saturday as well. And let's just ask God to just really cover us throughout this weekend. That you know, many people really come to know the Lord. And I want to encourage you guys, that, you know, you guys that are here, if you haven't signed up for baptism, you know, please do. And make sure that you seek Monica before you leave today. Well, let's just cover this weekend. Let's pray for our move. Let's pray that the Lord would just continue to bless our church people with just generosity. Let's pray for our fundraiser coming up in a few weeks, our bowling tournament. And I pray that we'd have a fun time raising money during this time. You know, part of this, let's pray. If you could pray actually today, we're having a conference call with China Chem. And it's the first time that we're actually contacting them. And If it just comes down to money right now, and if we can negotiate a better rental agreement, you know, then, you know, this summer we'll be moving. And if you're unaware, right, we are in the process of taking over the Vine right now, and so it's pretty much a done deal. Now we just negotiate. And so we have a conference call today. And so if you can just pray, you know, I don't know what time it's going to be at, but just pray now and, you know, be in prayer throughout the day and just ask for just incredible favor, you know, with China Chem, you know, who owned the building. And the Lord will really do something through that. Let's continue to pray for the Vine as well, you know, as they are making their move to Wan Chai, and that their construction will be finished on time. There'll be no more delays, and that, you know, their process can be run smoothly as well. So let's lift up both of our churches before the Lord. Lastly, if I could just ask you to pray for just a few prayer items. A few days ago, Jamie Donaldson's niece in New Zealand apparently ate a cookie, but she has a pretty bad allergy to eggs, and so she kind of went into a coma. She's out of the coma now, she still needs to recover. She's a six-year-old girl. Her name's Ava. You know, if we could just continue to pray for healing for her, and also for Jamie as well, that he's suffering from Bell's palsy. And so let's pray that he would be healed up, you know, quite quickly as well. And of course, you know, just continue to pray for Godwin. And so, you know, and by the way, if there is stuff going on in your lives or, you know, urgent prayer requests, you know, please send it to Matt and to our prayer teams. And, you know, we'll get people, you know, praying on it right away. Right? So let's lift up these people before the Lord. so much. Lord, we bless you this morning, God. We thank you for the message, Lord. And it's just another reminder for us, God, that, Lord, that you require something of us, God. Lord, we're saved by grace. But, Lord, the manifestation of that grace is that we live full lives, Lord. And so I pray that you'd help us, God. Help us to live lives that we cannot live on our own strength, God. Lord, that we live totally depending upon you. God, and out of that dependence, power, authority, wisdom, grace flow, Father. And we want to be those type of people, God. So watch over us, Lord. Watch over us throughout this weekend, God. There are so many things going on. And, Lord, our house church leaders' meetings, God, and our different Bible studies, Lord, and our baptism service. And we pray, God, that you would be glorified in it all, God, that we would celebrate your faithfulness in our lives. So we thank you. Watch over us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great weekend. We'll see you guys in Lantau throughout this weekend. And so bless you.